Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show, and you can listen to us on all of your podcast apps. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, and you can go to voicesofwrestling.com/donate to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard, here with Paul again. And Paul, we made the executive decision to return sooner than we thought, like a week sooner than we thought, because there's a lot to cover. And in particular, one big show that popped up that I felt like we needed to cover.
Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, I also realized tomorrow, and I only realized that like 5 minutes ago, is that it's actually better if we record like today or this week rather, because next week is like literally the busiest week at work for me of the entire year. So it's probably better if we do it this week.
Yeah, or at least if we do record next week, we can just do a quick episode of the NOAH and the All Japan show.
Yeah.
In and out type thing, because we have a few things to talk about here and a few little news and notes. But we start, I don't know, the last time we talked about DDT, Paul, do you remember? Maybe it was...
Peter Pan, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been. So anyway,
I think maybe we touched a little bit on King of DDT.
No, just for Ray Saito.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, no mind.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think that the reason A, this is a show that's worth talking about. B, I think DDT has really picked up in quality from the back half of last year, especially. And I thought a lot of people actually probably definitely took time to watch out this show more than usual among people. So I thought we're going to do it. And I watched this live. So we're going to talk about DDT Judgment 2024, their 27th anniversary show from Corken Hall with 1,491 fans. That's a super low vacancy in Corken these days.
And a luck pack too. So.
Oh, yeah. They're getting a little less they're just trying to fill out Corken now instead of going to Oda Ward, but they're going to go to Sumo Hall for Peter Pan.
Yeah. And I mean, it might also be maybe they just couldn't get a date on Oda Ward before,
Oda Ward's
something
closing.
That might also be the thing. So, yeah. Well, it's not closing permanently, just getting renovated.
But, yeah. I think All Japan will have one of the last shows there later this week.
I think it might be the actual last wrestling show or something in there before it closes.
So we start off with the first match, the intern wrestler match, Tsubasa Suzuki debut match. Soma Takao defeated Tsubasa Suzuki in 9 minutes and 1 second with a perfect driver. So Suzuki comes from one of those university wrestling clubs, much like Inamura came from one of those too. There's like a whole story, mm-hmm. even in English, about Inamura and his time in a Japanese wrestling club at the Japan Times. Anyway, he did wrestle one match in PPP, but that's debatable whether or not that counts.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's PPP. I feel like I could get a match in PPP if I tried hard enough.
Oh, if you paid them enough, they definitely...
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
So I thought he looked real good. I thought, like Suzuki, that is. I thought, you know, this is a simple back-and-forth match. He got to show off his high spots. And, I mean, he's definitely, like, got sort of like a DDT vibe to him, like high flyer, handsome guy, mm-hmm. colorful, like obviously like Ibushi influenced, although he goes with the red instead of the blue and gold. But I think they're doing it as a thing that's saying, oh, can he find a place in DDT? I think he's already got one, and this is just the story of him.
Yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't debut him on a show this big either.
No, absolutely.
And putting him up against like Soma, who's, I mean, he's not a top guy, but it's not like he's nobody.
He's a veteran, basically. Though.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was a good opener. And then the Yuya Kuroku return match, Toy, Illusion, Rukia defeated Yuni, Yuya Kuroku, and Kazuma Sumi in 9 minutes and 1 second with the Kojima impact from Toy on Kuroku. I thought this was really good. I thought Kuroku looked very good returning from injury here. Of course, doing the traditional Japanese booking where he takes the fall in his return mat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really high on Rukia lately, too. We'll talk about more of him later. So, yeah, a good debut or a good return for Kuroku, although his partner's gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's the awkward part. But
yeah,
no, but I agree otherwise. I mean, very solid, just like solid 6-man tag match. Yeah, I think that's really all you can say. And because it's always can be a bit shaky, right? When people come back from like long injuries, like how well have they recovered? Yeah. But I think from the first impression, it seems like there's no like long-term damage or anything like that.
No, definitely not. And I mean, it's just a sign, like look at these, like how many like young wrestlers at DDT always turns out.
Yeah, that's always the insane part where this, I mean, but I think one of the problems that DDT has is that like at least like 60% kind of get lost in the shuffle. Like they do turn out like an insane amount of people.
You could tell a lot. You could tell like someone like, to be honest, like Rukia, even though I like him, like he's not going to be a top star.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, no, the actual like output of the DDT dojos. I mean, I feel like they should share some of these people with Noah. I talked about this before where I'm like, why does this promotion have 2 dojos when one of them is turning out like people... Like so many people that some of them get lost in the shuffle, whereas the other one has like 3 people.
Like maybe 5 guys in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah, and like 2 people that became successful ever out of the dojo.
Yeah. And then next up, Keisuke Ishii and Shinichiro Kawamatsu defeated Toru Owashi and Gorgeous Matsuno in 9:26 with a 2-arm screwdriver from Ishii on Matsuno. I mean, this was a comedy match. Kawamatsu is that politician who wrestles in like a business suit, and had his feud with Osamu Nishimura. You know, I mean, Matsuno is ancient at this point and does all of the I'm too old to be in the ring spots. Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. But I mean, Ishii's like an incredibly underrated wrestler and always has been. So I enjoy seeing him. But that's about the highlight of this match for me.
Yeah, pretty much. I also agree with Ishii just being very underrated. Because I remember you had that like All Japan like junior title reign like years ago at this point.
Yeah, this is like I think 2013, 2014.
Yeah, and that was like during a very dark time, I think, otherwise of the junior division. That was one of the high points. I don't think he's done much.
Just the highlight seasons. Between 20-minute Ultimo Dragon and Kanemaru matches.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he hasn't really done anything since then, I feel like.
Well, I mean, he's a Gambare regular, but he doesn't even seem to do that much there. But I'm not an expert on that, but doesn't seem to be anyway. Special singles match, Akito versus Super Sasadango Machine went to a double sleep. 7 minutes and 10 seconds. This was a painfully long Super Sasadango PowerPoint presentation. I felt longer than usual.
It went on for so long that my like stream died in the middle of it, and it took me a while to notice.
Since I was watching this live, I considered getting up and doing something else. And just leaving it on in the background. I don't know. This was obviously like a very DDT style comedy match. Then the slow motion stuff started. Some people even were raving about it, but it's just not for me. So I don't really have much to say about it.
I mean, I will say I did actually love when they basically did the second flashback with Super Sasadango, right? Because they did the whole thing where like Super Sasadango Machine covers Akito for the pin, and then they start the like slow-mo stuff, and there's like the video package and everything, and then he does the heroic kick out, and then they do the whole like slow-mo sequence, which then leads to like Sasadango Machine being in the submission, and then they do the second like heroic the second heroic flashback for him. And I did love for that one, but then that one went on for way too long, and then it just ended with, and again, the joke was, yes, that it went on for so long that everybody just fell asleep, but yeah. I will give the match is that it did at least make me laugh once, so there's that.
There you go. Mission accomplished. Next up, we had Schadenfreude International versus Damnation TA. Daisuke Sasaki Cannon and MJ Paul defeated Chris Brooks, Masahiro Takanashi, and Antonio Honda in 11 minutes and 21 seconds with the Just Cobra twist from Cannon on Honda. This was just kind of there. I thought
yeah.
It had some comedy spots too, but it was sort of kind of forgettable.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, with Schadenfreude being back, I kind of need to see where I actually put my Schadenfreude flag, because I actually own one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bought it.
That's cool.
I bought it way back in the day. Well, you know how long ago that was? Because I bought it A, at an OTT show, which oof. but also B, I bought it from Aussie Open.
Oh, so, really?
That's yeah, cool. This was a while ago.
And then next up, special singles match. Ken Oka defeated Chansiro Takagi in 10 minutes and 32 seconds with the Spear of Fire. So this was basically the Genbare graduation match.
Mm-hmm.
So Oka was accompanied to the ring by the entire like Genbare, or most of it at least, I think, the entire Genbare roster. Yumihito Imanari was on commentary. And this was actually a kind of a good match, I thought.
This definitely exceeded my expectations.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, oh, I don't know about this one.
There's a bunch of power bombs, and they really hustled this one, I say. You know, it was 10 minutes. It was good. And then, like, from my Takagi got on the map and or on the mic after the match, and like congratulated him and said, like, you know, you guys are ready to move on and everything like that.
Yeah, I think that was really nice. Like, all of the emotion in the post-match, because Oka was just bawling his eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I need to say this as well, because I don't know how many times we're going to be talking about Ken Oka otherwise. Just all-time great theme song.
Yes, definitely.
Just bad communication, just a great bop. And I might need to like see like next time I go to Japan, hope that it like coincides with a Genbare show, just so I can like be live there for that, because it's probably super fun to be in the audience for that.
Yeah, so I mean, both these guys are older too, so you know. But Takagi knows how to be dramatic, so I'll give him.
Yes, yeah, it's quite literally why he started DDT, because he wanted to do kind of this sort of stuff.
He's a showman. Yeah. Special tag match: Shuji Ishikawa and Yoshitatsu defeated Kazusada Higuchi and Yukio Naya in 12 minutes and 24 seconds with the Splash Mountain from Ishikawa on Higuchi. Paul, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
If you sort of bracket out one of the members, and this match, I think you can figure out who. Ishikawa really took it to Higuchi and Naya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think I'm as sad as it is that he's gone from All Japan, I have been enjoying like the stuff that Ishikawa has been doing outside of it so far.
Yep.
He definitely seems to be like very, very motivated as well.
He is very motivated. We'll talk about another one of his matches in, a little later in the show, but I thought this was a lot of fun. And it really set up stuff between him and Nia and Higuchi.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little later when we get to the King of DDT tournament.
No, they definitely set up some stuff there. I think it's, yeah.
KOD six-man tag team title belt. For title, and this is a belt versus disbandment match. Jun Nakayama, Danshuko Dino, and Makoto Oishi defeated Kazuki Harada, Naruki Doi, and Shinya Aoki in 9:48 when there was a egoist driver attempt from Harada, but Oishi did the cutback into the pin. Paul, I wasn't keeping up with all of my DDT, so I had no idea that Harada, Doi, and Aoki had formed a faction like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And in a typical DDT like comedy fashion, they have a faction and it disbands in a month.
I because I also don't really keep up, but I kind of had the feeling that that's the vibe that they were going for. I mean, I actually was thinking that they literally just formed this unit just for this match, but okay, mm-hmm. They at least gave it a month, so they actually did it better than I gave them credit for.
Yeah, it was called Zuncha Muscle Survivor.
So it's just putting all of the gimmicks together.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But I mean, that yeah, very DDT comedy type thing there.
Yeah. We'll never forget this legendary faction.
And they sold it as being so sad after the match.
Yes. Hirata really like went all in on that one. I mean, Doi is also the perfect straight man for that as well.
Well, yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I mean, Doi avoiding trying to be in the ring with Dino.
Yes, that too.
There wasn't much to this match either.
No, the match itself was okay, but I did actually enjoy the whole like disbandment thing afterwards, because while I didn't know, I kind of had a feeling that this was not a faction that had been around for a long time, so I kind of got the like joke they were going for here.
Mm-hmm. Next up, DDT Extreme title, the Calling Pain Jungle Death Match. Shun Makatsumata defeated Hideki Okutani in 13:38 with a Toton splash on the barbed wire board for his first defense of the Extreme title. I really enjoyed this, actually. I thought it was pretty good. I would probably say this might be the third best match on the show, even. Or fourth best match. Fourth best match?
I would say fourth best match, yeah, because yeah. Three matches coming up that are like more than this. But I mean, this was still really good.
I mean, this was just a barbed wire death match with some like leaves and trees put in. And oh, and plush toy snakes. Jungle death match. But yeah, they both bled early and they did the skewer spots to themselves and then mm-hmm. to do it as a fighting spirit spot.
I mean, Shunma basically bled like what, seconds into the match essentially?
Yeah, basically.
Because I remember like the bell rang and he like bumped immediately into the barbed wire board and I just like look away briefly and look back and he's just bleeding everywhere.
This continues, I think, a great stretch for Okutani, and I thought that he's slowly like he's building more of like a stoic character, but like mm-hmm. it's a little better than like the sort of blank expressions on his face that I have generally associated with him. Showed more edge here and everything like that.
Definitely, like he's never gonna be like The Rock, but
no.
But it's like he does. Yeah, I agree with you that he has more that like it's not that he's because definitely he was charismaless before, and he definitely has like more of an aura now. I think is what I was like. Yeah, the best way of describing it, right? Like there's like a bit of like danger to him now. Like where like yeah, this guy will just fuck you up basically.
Mm-hmm. And then next up for the KOD tag team title, Tetsuya Endo and Yuki Ino defeated Ryuki Honda and Yuma Anzai in 16:57 when Endo pinned Honda with the Burning Star Press. Paul, this is awesome.
Yeah.
We were so very wrong on the winners of this match though.
Yeah, that's definitely like I'm not a huge fan of like the outcome here because it just kind of made All Japan look like shit.
Well, and also Anzai's got his title match in 5 days.
Yeah, that too. I mean, he didn't take the pin at least, but I mean, he is never going to. The booking definitely is very, very questionable. And I mean, I kind of have the feeling that this probably is going to be the end of the DDT All Japan relationship.
Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously we have to get through the March 30th show, but yeah. I'm assuming that Toy and Onita are dropping those titles.
Yeah.
So we'll see from there what happens. I have that feeling as well. You know?
But the match itself was great. It's like,
oh yeah.
It just, again, made me like angry that we had to deal with sexy Yuki Ino for like, what, two,
well, three years? Well, I was going to say, I think, well, between this and another match we'll get to, I think Ino can be nominated for most improved this year.
Yeah. Because we could have gotten this Ino for like, you know, like all this time where he had to like go around and like sexually harass people instead. So, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, aside from that, this match was awesome. I think Endo is kind of slowly but surely kind of regaining his aura that he, you know,
yeah,
let's be honest, sure. Lost when he got knocked out by Nakajima. So he is kind of like slowly but surely getting back there. And I think he might be the one to like take the title over Ueno eventually. And yeah, no, but this match was awesome. What I really loved actually, like early on where you had that like sequence with Anzai and Endo, where like Anzai like reversed or like dodged the Enzigiri, and then Endo blocked the knee, which I don't think I've seen anyone do before. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen people dodge the knee, but he just straight up like blocked it.
Yeah.
Which I think that's actually going to be, I hope that like other people do that as well going forward. Because I think that can be like a really cool like sequence that Anzai can like put into his like repertoire. Where like he goes for the knee, but like instead of dodging, like the guy just like blocks it, then he needs to like figure out a way how to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah,
I
was gonna say, I thought all the Honda and Ino stuff was great too.
Yeah, I mean there was one spot though where I wasn't sure if there was like a miscommunication between them though.
What spot was
where,
that?
Where like they were like running towards each other and just kind of collided.
Mm.
And then they kind of like went down and like huddled up a bit where it looked like talking, where I feel like someone was supposed to take a spear, but they weren't like clear which of them was supposed to. So they just kind of ran into each other.
But that also fits in for those two.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that glaring, but I do remember that now that you mention it. But yeah, we'll talk more about the booking after in a second. DDT Universal title. Mao defeated Takeshi Masada in 4 minutes and 22 seconds by KO with the Senpu Yaku like jumping spinning kick for his sixth defense of the Universal title. I mean, I thought this was perfect for what it was. It was obviously like Masada the rookie standing up to Mao, and then he got like a high kick on Mao for the like a near 10 count, and then Mao was just like, you know, all over him and fought back, sort of put him in his place type thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually missed a good chunk of the match because I went and like made myself some tea, and then the match just, because I thought this was going to be longer, and then it just kind of ended really quickly. So I actually missed the finish.
Yeah, but it was more like a setting, like a long-term thing between these two.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was basically standing in my kitchen next to my kettle, and then I just hear the ring bell. I'm like, what? Wait.
And then in a special singles match, Konosuke Takeshita defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 19 minutes and 16 seconds with the Revolution-style Falcon Arrow. I mean, what else to say? This was incredible. This is my match of the show. I know others like the main event more. I thought this was a more complete match. I mean, Yuma was incredible here as the outsider, harassing the DDT fans, basically. He's so great at that. And I mean, high impact work, never a dull moment. And I think it was just a more complete match from start to finish.
Yeah. It's actually funny that like Yuma's heel run is generally considered a failure, but he's been ever since he turned back face, he's really good at playing heel whenever he has to. Like,
yes,
here,
that,
right?
Well, it's so weird. The funny thing is like when he, everyone loved the first heel turn when he gave that suplex to Kento Miyahara.
Yeah, that part was good.
Right? That was very memorable. Yeah. I thought that match against those two was like a very weak, given what you're sort of expecting from him. And then, well, then the pandemic happened.
And he started wearing a leather jacket for some reason. That was the most heelish thing about him.
Yeah. And then they built that back up. So yeah, I mean, but he's full bloom, like can be an amazing asshole when you need him to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I agree that this was an amazing match. I will say I'm probably on the side that the main event was better. But yeah, this was, I mean, just two of the best wrestlers on the planet, I think it's the best, like, right? Like it's, you know, if you know that these two are great, like it's exactly the kind of match you'd think these two would have against each other, I think. Like I went like 4.25 on this one. Like I thought this was just a great banger.
So I guess we'll just stop and talk here. I mean, this, result we expected. Takeshita beat Yuma.
Yeah.
We expected Honda and Anzai to win the KOD tag team titles. Not a fan of All Japan losing both of their matches to DDT on this show.
Yeah.
So I guess why did you let this happen type thing?
I mean, I guess DDT is the bigger promotion, but like, again, yeah. Like what did you get out of, like, right? But like, because it's like the entire relationship, like what did All Japan really get out of it? What was like the most high profile?
They got Sakaguchi and Okatani in the Real World Tag League.
Great. Yeah, I don't know if it was worth it for that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll know after, probably not until after the carnival if this relationship is still in existence.
Yeah, I mean, especially since it seems like DDT is actually pivoting, I mean, not with Noah, but at least with the team Noah.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a strong relationship. Right, yeah, we didn't talk about that because after the Extreme title match, Hiroki popped up on video and challenged Shunma.
Okay, yeah, I know, but still, that's funny. Yeah, that's sort of the thing. So we'll have to see for now. I mean, the interesting thing, though, is I suppose like the tag title match wasn't announced until much later, so I don't know. You didn't have to do it.
No, yeah, you got a great match out of it, but I don't know if this is. I mean, on the other hand, I guess if you wanted to send over a team, and it's a problem of the All Japan roster being so thin, if you wanted to send a team here, like who else?
Tamer and Sat.
Yeah, or I don't know, Ashino and Jiro, I guess. But again, you wouldn't have, I don't know if that would have been a good fit. So I don't know.
I know Jiro on this show.
Yeah. I mean, he would have fit. He seems to like he doesn't really work DDT all that much. It's weird.
I thought he did work a few DDT shows.
He did, but I don't think he really has much, like, because I think he announced, like, when he came back, it seemed like he was going to work a lot of DDT, but I don't think he actually really, like, has all that much this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, but, you know, I'm a little skeptical of what's going to happen going forward and about the wiseness of the booking in this. And then in our main event for the KOD Openweight title, Yuki Ueno defeated Hirashima in 22 minutes and 50 seconds with the WR to make his third defense of the KOD title. I mean, this was amazing as well. I thought my rationale for saying that the semi-main event was better was I thought that they did a better job from start to finish, whereas I thought, you know, okay, they start here was a little start to finish. I mean, a little slower to start, and then they brawled in the crowd, although Ueno did do the moonsault off the entrance to the stands. But, I mean, the closing stretch here was incredible, though. And then Hirashima, just like his facial expressions and his selling, like when he was in that sleeper hold, just top notch. I mean, definitely still one of the best matches of the year so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I actually prefer this over the semi-main because I just like the whole like dramatic elements more of this, like with it being a title match as well. So like that upped the stakes for me as well. And also like Ueno overcoming Hirashima, I think it's a great storyline. And I guess maybe what another thing that contributed to it, because it's, I think I know objectively that Hirashima is great, but I always kind of, because I don't watch DDT super regularly, like every time I like come in to like watch one of his big matches, I'm like reminded of how great he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, like a lot of talk about Hiroshima like as a unsung legend, basically.
Yeah. Like, because he is, like, legitimately still, like, one of the best wrestlers in Japan, on the planet. Because I was about to say Japan, but he really is, like, one of the best wrestlers in the world still.
Yeah.
And, like, this was a reminder of that. Like, yeah, as you said, like, I really love when he was in that sleeper hold. That was just amazing. And just, there were, like, a bunch of, like, near falls, like, on either side that I bid on and everything. So that really helped it for me as well. And, yeah, I went, like, 4.5 on this one. And I'm definitely... I'm going to see if I can find a space for this one on my like match of the year list at the end.
Mm-hmm. And then some notes coming out of the show. I wanted to watch the first round of the D-Generations tournament, but I didn't get a chance to, although I'm not even sure if it's actually up on Wrestle Universe yet, but I'm going to check that out. And so also notes, El Desperado will be on the Sumo Hall show on the 21st Peter Pan. And also, since it's the 20th anniversary of King of DDT, we've got the entrance, which is Poison Swatted Julie, who won in 2004, Shinsuke Takagi, Danshuko Dino, Hiroshima, who was the winner in 2010 and 2013, Shuji Ishikawa in 2016, and that's probably why he pinned Higuchi. Mm-hmm. Tetsuya Endo, the winner in 2020, Daisuke Sasaki, the 2018 winner, Kazusada Higuchi, the 2022 winner, when things seemed very different in DDT.
Yeah.
Chris Brooks, the 2023 winner, Yuki Ueno Mao, Yuki Ino, Yuki Onayo, Yuki Onaya, Cannon, and Takeshi Masada. And then the winner of the D-Generations Cup 2024 will be the 16th man. I think that's a pretty good lineup, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch this tournament.
Oh, yeah, no, same. I'm looking at that lineup, and, like, that's a banger, pretty much. I mean, some exceptions, obviously, like Sasaki and Julie. But I think otherwise, that there isn't really, like...
Well, I haven't watched the Poison Swatted Julie match in maybe 20 years.
Well, yes.
I don't know how they are these days.
Yeah.
It's they're getting up there in age.
Yes.
So that's DDT. I think we might have to pay more attention to it.
No, definitely. This was a really good show. I mean, like, it's not just
that,
they
called it a 5-hour show, but it went 6 hours.
Yeah. Because they were like, they did two intermissions,
two intermissions. They sort of needed that, but
yeah, they did, like, the crowd very badly needed that as well. I can just see, I would assume that, like, Corican probably ran out of, like, chicken and beer at some point.
Yeah. So we'll move on to Pro Wrestling NOAH. First news note, Manabu Soya has nerve damage issues in his elbow, and he's going to have surgery and will be out. So that could be a long one.
Yeah, this NOAH is just cursed right now when it comes to injuries.
Yeah. So this could be like a year thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it really depends, like, how bad the nerve damages.
Yeah. So
because it like it could be a year, it could also be like, I don't know, a month, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, who knows, we might be seeing him, like, we might be talking about him like in two episodes, or we might not be talking about him until, like, yeah, next spring, basically.
Yeah. NOAH Sunny Voyage on March 13th at Akria Himeji for 298 fans. All I have to say is I watched Jack Morris versus Ryohei Iwa and Kaito Kiyomiya versus Anthony Green, and I thought both of them were very fun matches. I thought Jack Morris versus Iwa especially was a lot of fun. Just, like, great matches to sort of, well, build up to what we thought was going to be the match.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is a shame that match, like, didn't happen. Yeah. Because they built, no, like I said, I will give NOAH credit here, like, they did a really good job of building up that match, and then for it to, like, get ripped away at the last second is just, yeah, bad.
So those were worth watching. And then on the 14th, I watched Goshi Ozaki to Junta Miyawaka, which was a fun little match. I mean, Go won that, obviously. And then Anthony Green beat Reho Ryohei Oiwa in 820 with the bad looking face. Again, another solid match. I think Green has really come into his own in Noah. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, like, he has adapted to the style.
And even as a singles guy, because mm-hmm. I really like both of these singles matches. I mean, Oiwa and Kiyomiya are great, you know, too, and they can carry someone. But you know, that was another good man. So I think he's become a better worker than Jack Morris, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he was always like a very solid worker. So I think for him, it was always more of the question if he can adapt to the style in Japan, which I think he has done. So he has done now. Yeah. Whereas for Morris, yeah, I mean, he was complete unknown. So
yeah, and more, and he had, Green has more experience than Morris to begin with.
Type yes, thing. That too.
So we go to Great Voyage 2024 in Yokohama on March 17th in the Yokohama Budokan in front of 977 fans.
Yeah, it's not great.
Okay, but if the match hadn't been changed like a couple days before, this couldn't have broken 1,200, could it?
I don't know. I mean, it definitely would. I mean, obviously, they would have gotten above 1,000 at the very least, because there would have been more walk-up, which obviously didn't happen now. I don't know if there would have been enough walk-up to add like another 230 tickets.
No. Yeah, that's a good point.
But they definitely, I mean, it wouldn't have looked this bad at least, yeah.
And then, so in the first match, Hayata, Ninja Mac, and Alejandro defeated Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, and Super Crazy in 11:21 with the David Foot spot, a foot stop stomp from Mac on Bane. This was a great opener. And let's say, just say the weaker wrestlers in this match were well hidden.
Yeah, Hayata didn't do a whole lot. And Super Crazy. I was actually surprised that Bane took the fall here.
Yeah.
As well, since I had the feeling that maybe they're going to move both of them up to heavyweight, but it seems like they're back to being juniors now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took a loss to a junior here, but yeah, otherwise this was a very good opener.
Yeah. And then Deki Naba defeated Shuhei Taniguchi in 8:44 with the triple D. I thought this was a fun little match. Mm-hmm. And exactly sort of the thing that I expect out of Taniguchi these days, like solid mid-card wrestling, and they sort of walloped each other. So this was a nice little match here.
Yeah, especially since this kind of got put together late as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they did about as well as they could have.
LJ Cleary defeated Hajime Ohara in 7:22 with the crucifix hold. I mean, it was there.
Yeah.
Not much.
Like, why are we, like, why are we, like, still protecting, like, Ohara, where he is only can lose to, like, LJ on, like, a fucking banana peel roll-up? Like, why?
I don't know. I could see them heating up Cleary for a junior title match at some point. But probably, I mean, not.
That's the other thing. Is LJ a junior?
I thought he was, but I could be very wrong on that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think they ever made it very clear, but I have a feeling they also never really make it all that clear to the wrestlers themselves. Because remember when they, I mean, we just talked about Green. Remember when Green challenged for the junior title and then he was announced for the N1 like 2 days later?
Right, yes.
So
that was because of an unforeseen incident.
Yeah. Yeah, that was because Fatra had visa issues, but still.
Oh, wasn't that, I thought that was Michael Elgin.
Was that the Elgin thing, or was that the Fatra had visa issues and couldn't come?
It could be that one too.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. It was one of those two.
Yeah. But LJ is kind of borderline, especially in Noah, for being a junior.
Yeah.
Like, he's 5'10", 194 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So next up, Leo did Dr. Wagner Jr. and Shuji Kondo defeated Jake Lee and Tadasuke in 15:01 with the Wagner driver from Wagner on Tadasuke. Paul, I can't say this quite hyped me up.
Yeah, this was just kind of there.
I mean, Wagner and Jake did a bunch of grappling to start.
Yeah.
Like,
it got fun once Wagner like started tossing Tadasuke around. But
yes. Yeah, the last few minutes were good, but otherwise it wasn't that much to it. And then, of course, like, you know, Jake Lee punked Wagner after the match.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I think Wagner's retaining now.
Really? Because he, because I now have the feeling that he's losing because he won this match.
Yeah, I don't.
Who knows?
I think
they should keep it on Wagner. I really hope they keep it on Wagner. It would be stupid to like put it back on Jake now.
Yeah, it's like, okay, and we don't really know if getting the title was in his contract, but why would you sign a contract just to be a transitional champion for a month?
Yeah, where you're not even in Japan for the majority of it.
Yeah, that seems
where like... you're like, oh yeah, we put the title on you in March when you spent half the month touring Europe.
Yeah, so I don't know. I kind of think he's retaining now, yeah. But I can't rule it. I have like 60-40 he's retaining.
Yeah, I just want to put it at 70-30 just because I want it to happen.
And then Masa Kitamiya defeated Manabu Soya and Reiho Iwa in a three-way in 11:51 with a diving senton from Kitamiya on Soya. Not surprising. Soya's going to be out for a while, probably, possibly. This was fun just because you don't really get like a three-way between three heavyweights like this.
No. And they just kind of, and they also didn't do the whole like shtick of like, oh, one guy rolls to the outside and the other two's two spots.
Yeah.
Like they were just like, all three of them were just like, nah, we're just going to like lariate each other into oblivion until one of us is left standing.
Exactly. And so it was like, obviously I don't love three ways in general, but this was fine and it was different.
Especially because it got like, again, like Inaba and Taniguchi, it got thrown together late.
Yeah, this was thrown.
So they had no time to like prepare something here. And it also being a match type that none of them are familiar with.
No, you could kind of tell, I think.
Yeah. But again, like given all of those caveats, I thought it was really as good as it could have been given all of those caveats. Because it ended up being really, really, really like fun, just hard hitting action.
And then Kenno defeated Uka Sasaki in 11:38 by countout because he delivered like the PFS from the top rope to Sasaki on the outside. And Sasaki tried to roll in, but he couldn't make it. Paul, I don't know if you listened to the flagship with Gran Akuma this week.
I did, yeah. Gran Akuma live brought Richard around on Uka Sasaki.
But he made a good point that Sasaki should stick to the wrestling and not the MMA shoot style stuff.
Yeah. No. I agree as well. Because, I mean, I get why he wants to do it. And it's probably just people that encourage him to do it as well.
For sure. Especially in that dressing room.
Yeah. So, but he is just better at the actual like wrestling part. And if he wants to be a wrestler, I think maybe leaning into that as well is more beneficial for him as well. Because I like watching shoot style, but it's also a dead end.
Yeah, and well, I mean, Gran Akuma's point also was that Sasaki looks a little hesitant with some of the shoot style stuff because he doesn't want to like Nakajima someone.
Yeah, or he wants to like legit choke out Kenno.
Or so, pop out someone's elbow.
Yeah.
Or something, you know? But I thought that was a really good point about that. And, you know, I mean, I think that, and I do think that Sasaki has been improving. I thought this was good, not great. And solid, but obviously an important match, I think, for Sasaki to have in terms of his development as well.
Yeah. And actually, like what Gran Akuma said, like made, because for me, there was always some, like I was like a Sasaki has talent, but there was always something that seemed off about what he was doing.
Yeah.
And like once Akuma, once I listened to that, I was like, oh yeah, no, that like that's what it is. Like he's like holding back when he like does the MMA stuff, and that's the weirdness there. Because like what he does is technically it looks not bad because obviously he knows how to apply that stuff, but then it also looks off somehow. And yeah, that's what it is because he doesn't want to hurt someone and that's what makes it look off. And so yeah him actually like sticking to more traditional pro wrestling stuff would be good because he looks good whenever he does it.
Got a nice little RKO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Japanese Randy Orton sounds mean, but he becomes Randy Orton, but good.
I don't even know what that looks like because that could be any wrestler that just doesn't grab a hold.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Actually,
And then next up was the elimination match. Naomi Marufuji, Takashi Sugera, Yoshinori Agawa, Junta Miyawaki, and Yu Iwata defeated Go Shiozaki, Muhammad Yone, Akitoshi Saito, Atsushi Kitoge, and Hiroki in 22-17. Hiroki defeated Ogawa with the Stuka Splash in like 29 seconds, which is funny. And then Sugera eliminated Yone by front net lock, referee stop in 8:40. Saito went over the top rope at 14:13. Sugera went over the top rope at 14:25. Shiozaki eliminated Muta Miyawaki with the Goan Lariat. Iwata eliminated Hiroki with the backslide. Mm-hmm. And then Marufuji eliminated Shiozaki with the Tiger King. I thought that this was a little slow to start, but I thought after like maybe at like the 15 minute mark, shortly after Saito got eliminated, this really picked up. The stuff with Miyawaki and Shiozaki was great. And then Iwata just looking like $1 million in there, getting the huge, and the crowd really popped for this, the backslide on Hiroki. And then Fuji and Shiozaki just did the chop the shit out of each other to finish this off.
Yeah, I mean, this was really like to put over Iwata. Like,
yeah,
right? Because it was kind of weird. Like, why are we doing this elimination match? And then it became kind of clear, like, that what they're doing here is they're trying to put over Iwata.
Yeah.
Like, not just him eliminating Hiroki, but also him surviving until the end as well.
Yeah.
Because it was him and Marufuji that were like left standing at the end of the match.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the important visual there. It's like, it's Iwata in there with like arguably one of the biggest legends in the history of the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I also loved all of the stuff with like Shiozaki and Miyawaki. Like that was just amazing. Just Miyawaki just trying to hang in there and just ultimately like falling short because Shiozaki is just better than him. That was really great. And then, yeah, I thought this was a... Yeah, as you said, it started off slow, but then it became really, really great by the end.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a real sicko, and I want to see a Marufuji versus Shiozaki match in 2024.
Oh, no, absolutely. I would definitely want to see that because Shiozaki is obviously slowing down, but again, just like Marufuji, like he's getting to that stage that Marufuji has been in for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, the average like Go Shiozaki like random tag match, he might not be going as hard anymore, but he can still turn it on when he has to.
Mm-hmm. And then for the GHC Junior Heavyweight title, Daga defeated Yohei in 14:49 with the Diablo Wings for his fifth defense of the title. I can't even believe it's been five defenses. I thought this is like the third.
I was like, this is odd. Remember when we recorded and I was like, oh yeah, that's clearly a transitionary reign and then he's going to lose it to Eita at the January show. And it's been 3 months since then.
Paul, I got to say,
mm-hmm.
I really like this and I think this might be the best Daga match in this reign.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
And Paul, I'm going to say it. Yohei's the best junior in Noah.
Trying to think if I can come up with someone.
Like, Legobadores are sort of a tag team.
Yeah.
They don't have that much single stuff. I mean, Ninja Mac, maybe. But
Okawa.
I mean, I think Yohei, in terms of getting pushed, because they're not really pushing Ninja Mac right now.
Or Ogawa.
And stepping up. Like, it was the same thing where he was like a sympathetic baby face. He sold well, got some big near falls during the end, but then eventually fell to Daga, you know?
He has become like one of the best at this like sympathetic baby face underdog style of match.
Yeah. So I'm a member of the Yohei Respect Army.
No, absolutely. I mean, this has been a Yohei Respect podcast for a while now.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's really found himself.
And I feel like even his biggest haters, Rich, slowly but surely coming around on that.
Yes, definitely, for sure. So that was good. I don't even remember if someone challenged after this match.
I don't.
Now that I think of it.
So, no, I don't think anyone came out.
And then in our main event, Jack Morris and Anthony Green defeated Saxon Huxley and Timothy Thatcher in 21:30 with the Shooting Star Press from Morris onto Huxley for their fourth defense of the titles. Look, I mean, it was okay to good. They tried. They really wanted to let you know that Real were heels because they gave both guys pile drivers on the outside. Jack Morris's shooting star plus looked a little sloppy, but whatever. And they tried, and it was good, like a 3.5-star match. Mm-hmm. But definitely deflating from what I thought they could have done with Oiwa and
Kiyomiya. I mean, the other thing as well is because obviously you have to make like Huxley and Thatcher the heels in the match. But like it's weird because Morris and Green were obviously the heels in the whole like build up to the original match. Yeah. And then the heels in the title match, but you kind of had to because you had to switch the match. Like, I'm not going to judge them too harsh here because shitty situation, basically.
Yeah,
but it was still like a weird match structure, and that kind of hurt the whole thing for me because the guys that were like dastardly heels in the entire lead up to their title match are like all of a sudden the sympathetic baby faces because they're up against like the bigger heels essentially.
Yeah,
that was a little weird, but I thought they brought it back a little towards the end. I actually liked the finishing sequence.
Yeah,
where I think actually Huxley actually looked pretty decent during the finishing sequence, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I also thought the match went a little bit long.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't even, would it have made sense to switch this into semi-main?
Yes.
Right, like I can't believe I'll say that. Would it have made sense to give Daga 21 minutes instead?
Oh, I don't know about that. As much as we praise Yohei, I mean, I think there might be a limit to like how long you can just like take the beating.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I feel like actually would have been on the I don't know. Like there is really no good situation just with like Kaito being out and you kind of building the entire show was built around Kaito and Oiwa winning, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
But
we'll get to this. Yeah, we're going to get to this in a second, Gwena, because I'm going to talk about the March 31st Korakuen lineup. But, like, Kiyomiya, what was it, like spinal bruising or something?
Mm-hmm.
And they said he could be back very fast, but I'm not sure how fast.
Because... Isn't he booked on the Korakuen?
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay, so I guess we're going to go to that next. Because... okay, so second match on the Cork or third match on the Cork is Anthony Green versus Daiki Inaba. So I thought maybe Inaba was going to pin Green in the challenge.
I don't know. I would just go back to Kaito.
Just
do the match. Just have them beat him.
Yeah,
because they also did the whole angle of Kenno and Owada calling out. Kaito and Oiwa, and I think they also said that like you just give up the shot that you didn't get, like just give it to us instead.
Yeah,
because I feel like those two were supposed to be their first challengers.
Yep.
So I think like especially since Kaito is just right back, I think you should not like change course, just like do the match whenever you like find a good spot for it, just do the title switch there and then just keep trucking on with what you were going to do originally anyway.
Yeah. I'm looking at, okay, let's get the schedule up here. Okay, so 31st. Well, we got, Edion number 2 in Osaka on April 7th.
Yeah, perfect.
We got a Korakuen on April 11th.
You can do it there, yeah.
That might
like both of those are like good. Both of those, I think, are like perfectly acceptable.
Those are the biggest in April. The Thursday, April 11th is live on Samurai and Wrestle Universe.
I mean, actually, you know, I mean, it might be a bit big for that. But if you want to do a splash thing, why not do it on the first episode of the second season of Monday Magic?
I was just going to bring that up. First episode of Monday Magic returns on Monday, April 1st.
Yeah. If you want to do like a big splash, right, that might be like a little bit of a blessing in disguise because then you also tell people that you need to watch that if you do like a big title change there.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. So Monday Magic is coming back on April 1st. And that was, I'm looking forward to it because that was the best thing in NOAH.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, in this case, it's also leading up to the Sumo Hall show.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to do.
But are they gonna give all these ridiculous storylines on Monday Magic now?
I mean, are we going to see the big return of the foolish fighting Sakuya?
Oh yeah, the great Sakuya. Oh god.
I really hope they just memory hole that one and just pretend it never happened.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll know very soon, in like a week.
Yeah.
So Korakuen on the 31st, real quickly. First match, Masa Kidemiya versus Shuhei Taniguchi. That'll be great. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second match, Takashi Sugera and Hajime Ohara versus Go Shiozaki and Atsushi Kotoge. Why not? And obviously Ohara will be eating the fall.
Hopefully, we said,
Anthony Green versus Deki Inaba. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Daira Yoshinori Ogawa and Super Crazy versus Ninja Mac Alejandro and Junta Miyawaki. Could get a challenger out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Kaito Kiyomiya and Ryohei Oiwa versus Kenno and Yu Owada. I mean, I assume that Kiyomiya and Oiwa are going to win this, but Owada is going to put on a valiant fight to the end.
Yeah, but he's going to lose here because they did the draw
in
the tag league, so he's going to take the loss here. And I feel like this might have been their first defense, actually, originally.
It might have been, yeah. Then we got Naomichi Marufuji versus Uka Sasaki, which I think we talk about Sasaki doing more pro wrestling. This is a good opponent for that.
Yeah. More Shiozaki, less Aoki.
Yeah. And then Jack Morris, Johan Tadasuke versus Hayata, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf. Could be good.
Mm-hmm. Probably get like a tag title challenge out of that, junior tag title challenger.
Perhaps, yeah. And then main event, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner versus Jake Lee for the GHC Heavyweight Championship. And this will be Wagner's first defense.
Hopefully, it better be. Oh God, I really don't want, because like not just it being back on Jake, but because we know who's going to be the first defense if Jake wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to see that match again.
No.
So I really hope this is just Jake. This is just Wagner. Wagner just beats him and we just move forward with Wagner and see where he goes.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, oh, you're right. I totally forgot about the Fujita draw. That's sort of hanging over this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the other thing where I'm like, I really don't, you know. Because here's the thing. You could still do Wagner-Fujita. I mean, not that I'm a big fan of that, but Fujita, like Wagner only beat Fujita by like a like banana peel roll up.
Yeah.
Back when they faced off Indian one. So like there is grounds theoretically for Fujita to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to do Jake versus Fujita.
Yeah. And then we go on to NOAH Limit Break on March 20th. At Yokohama Radiant Hall in front of 330 fans, Supernova Vacancy. We had Yu Owada defeated Rukia in 9-17 with the crab hold. Very solid rookies match, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, Yu Owada definitely looks impressive. Yeah. I'm curious if they're actually even going to send him on excursion or not.
Well, he's getting a lot for not being on excursion yet. So yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
And then Muhammad Yone and Hiroki defeated Yuto Kikuchi and Harutoki in 11:38 with a Stuka splash from Hiroki on Harutoki. I thought this was just sort of there.
Yeah.
Not much.
Just a whole lot of nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Kazuyuki Fujita and Atsushi Kotoge defeated Kazusada Higuchi and Black Mensobre in 13:29 with the kill switch from Kotoge on Mensobre. I gotta say, I was somewhat surprised that like Mensore could even get like a roll up on Fujita at one point. So yeah. I'll give him that. This is actually better than I expected.
I really like the stuff of Higuchi and Fujita.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. They laid into each other and that really made up for it, right? And all the others here are good, right? Mensore is underrated, mm-hmm. if anything, but Fujita could just drag it down, but he didn't really hear.
No, he seemed to have like a lot of, I mean, I guess because Higuchi is like a former sumo, so he has like, like, I think the thing with Fujita always is you notice very obviously if he has respect for his opponent or not. And it seemed like he had an actual, like, he had actually had respect for Higuchi here.
Yeah.
Because Higuchi might be one of the few people that could also just actually fuck up Fujita if he wanted to.
And then Jun Akiyama and Akitoshi Saito versus Shuji Ishikawa and Ren Ayabe went to a 20-minute draw. Again, I thought this was a solid match. Nice to see Akiyama and Ishikawa again in the ring again, together again, and I thought they worked well together. It didn't drag as much as I thought for these guys going 20 minutes, considering the age of some of the people in this match.
I was really surprised that they went time limit draw on this one.
But it was, I thought this was very solid.
Yeah. No, it was very solid match, just I will say maybe a little bit too long because of the time limit draw, but otherwise, yeah, it was fine.
And then Tetsuya Endo and Yuki Ino defeated Goshi Ozaka and Genta Yubari in 25-32 with the Burning Star Press from Endo on Yubari. This went long. This could have had a couple minutes chopped off of this, but I thought this got real good by the end, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually watched this one before I watched the DDT show.
Oh, okay.
I at that point I was already like, ah, oh, man, this is the Yuki Inu we could have gotten all this time.
Yep. I was just going to say, like, yeah, between this and that. Yubari, never seen him before. He's a JTO guy. I mean, he looks like an indie scummer.
I was like, he really stuck out in terms of his look, where it's like, you just see him all in there, like Tetsuya Endo and it's like fucking, like, ace coat and
chiseled,
like,
body.
Yeah, like Yuki Ino and then Goshi Ozaki, obviously. And then, like, one of these things is not like the others, basically.
Goshi Ozaki is a very handsome man, and
and
then this guy, Yujeta Yubari,
with his strainy blonde hair
and his like scruffy beard and everything, and
his
simple black singlet.
Yeah,
that being said, I thought he was okay, and like, I wouldn't be against him on an All Japan undercard or something.
This seems like he seems like a guy that All Japan brings in whenever they're like in some sort of like small town and they need to bring in like a local indie scummer to like sell some additional tickets.
Yeah. So that is Noah and Limit Break. I think despite the changed main event in Yokohama, and the sort of frustration we might have had on our last show, I think things could still be good as long as they don't put the title back on Jake Lee.
Yeah, this is really the big thing. Like, if they just do the title switch that they wanted to do originally and don't do the title switch with Jake, I think they're in a good place. Like, because I feel like we would also have been talking very differently about the Yokohama show, even if it had drawn badly. If it had the original main event,
done
the title change.
Absolutely. They salvaged the show the best they could, I thought.
Yeah. They were dealt a really rough hand there. And they still managed to put out a pretty decent show anyway.
So that is Pro Wrestling Noah. And so we move on to All Japan. They had the Dream Power Series 2024 on March 20th at the Saitama Aikos Agio in front of 279 fans. I don't know if that was a sellout or not. It wasn't, but I don't think it was that much. I don't think you could probably get more than 350 people in there, though.
No.
So first match, since this is in Saitama, it was Ryuji Hijikata defeating Ryo Inoue in 752 with the Fisherman's Buster. I got to say, I thought this was a good little match.
Mm-hmm. No, I really enjoyed this as well. I mean, Hijikata, when he wants to, can still turn it on.
Oh, yeah, he can. When he's not under a mask.
As whoever that would be, I don't know who he would be masked as.
So that was a good opener. Dan Tamer versus Sego Tachibana went to a time limit draw in 15 minutes. I got to say, I was somewhat underwhelmed. I thought these two could have a better match than they did.
I was also like, I was really excited for this one, and it wasn't bad, but I mean, it was very much a house show match, right? Like, it was kind of
Half
effort.
Yeah, that was the thing, that these guys excel their best when they're having a big singles match, really. Otherwise, it was somewhat going through the motions.
I think it would have actually helped if this had been shorter, actually. Oh, I feel like sure. if they had gotten like 10 minutes, I think they probably would have worked a bit harder because they had less time.
Yeah. And then Shitara Shino and Kuroshio Tokyo Japan defeated Suwama and Hikaru Saito in 10:46 with the Ikemen special from Kuroshio on Saito. Again, just there. Not bad at all.
Yeah. No, it was solid. And I did actually like the finishing sequence with Jiro and Sato, because I think they actually did that nicely, where like Jiro just kind of caught him on the roll up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought the finish was fine, and yeah, decent enough match.
Yeah, Jun Saito defeated Kuma Arashi in 9:22 with the cycle break. Paul, this is what they're keeping from us.
Yeah, but why is he not in the carnival?
He should be in the carnival. Oh my god,
he should be in the carnival.
I like this. I mean, it was a little slow at points, but it was fun seeing these guys just pummel each other and like do that their thing.
Yeah,
I'm probably higher than most on this, but it was a lot of fun.
Look, I have been a Kuma Arashi defender for like way longer. Like, I have been a Kuma I was a Kuma Goro defender, so like, but yeah, I don't get why this guy isn't a regular roster member. Or not a regular roster member anymore. Because we talked about this before. Like, I think he's better than Koji Doi now. And yeah, he was great here. And I think he was over as well. Like, I think the crowd actually popped for him when he came out. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So it was a fun little match, but also sort of frustrating because this is what they're keeping from us.
Again, he fits perfectly style-wise as well and look-wise and just everything. I don't get it. I mean, maybe he doesn't, maybe it's on him. Like, maybe he doesn't. Like, maybe he's happy just doing this every once in a while. Like, that could also be the option. But if it's not, then I don't, if it's from the side of the promotion, then I really don't get it.
Yeah. And then PWF World Junior Heavyweight Title Skirmish. Yuma Aoyagi Musashi defeated Kento Miyahara and Rising Hayato in 20 minutes and 7 seconds with the Nitin Inchiru from Musashi on Hayato. I got to say, I thought that like Kento and Yuma like clogged up, or I should say maybe cogged a lot of this match doing their thing.
Yeah.
In the middle of
That was weird because again, the point was like building up Musashi and Hayato. And then, I mean, that's sometimes the problem, right? When you have two people that are as good as Kento and Yuma, where they can kind of just completely
and it's funny you whole. Kento and Yuma were sort of going through the motions of their usual shtick. I mean, it's good, but it just was like, okay, I've seen this before, and you're clogging up and blocking what the actual story is.
Yeah. No, very weird match structure. And I mean, it wasn't bad, right? Because all four of these are great, but it was just, I didn't really come away like, looking forward to like or being more excited about Musashi and Hayato than I was before coming into the match.
But kind of obvious where this is the whole like Hayato and Musashi thing is going though.
Yes. No. Yeah. I mean, I very much hope that it's just Hayato defending the belt.
And then in the main event for the Triple Crown Skirmish, Kazuhiko Nakajima, Hokuto Omori, and Hartley Jackson defeated Ryuki Honda, Yuma Anzai, and Fuminori Abe in 13:53 with the face kick from Nakajima on Honda. I thought this was good because they kept it like a nice tight, just under 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. I like Omori, Nakajima, and Jackson as a faction, actually.
Yeah.
That
would be a perfect spot for Jackson as well, because he can, if he just like the heavy in a faction, I think that's, because that's kind of what they were doing in Great as well, right? With him just being the heavy for BGI.
Yeah, I got to say, Jackson has been good, I think, in his All Japan appearances recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised because I was like, when he came in, I was like, I don't know about this one. But
well, look, I mean, okay. I even watched some of his stuff in Gambari, and it's just like, he's just like old. He's in his 40s now.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. Like, he was slowing down, right? But, he looks solid here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Also, while we're on the topic of Jackson, also another one with just a complete banger of a theme song, but also I will always think of the like Kings of the North first when I hear that theme song before I think of him.
So we are going to go to, we got the full match order for Oda Ward. We're getting actress time. It's Mirai Aono and Ayano Irie versus Kuki and Kanamic. I don't know if that's the bad translation, because Kuki is one wrestler and then the other one translates as Kanamic or Kanamic. So I don't know about that. First match, Kaz Hayashi, Seki Yoshioka and Fuminori Abe versus Naruki Doi, Sego Tachibana and Ryo Inoue. This might be Kaz Hayashi's farewell to All Japan.
Yeah, I was about to say that's probably his final like All Japan match ever, which is weird to think about because like he just feels like, I mean, he has basically been around forever.
He was the junior ace for like almost a decade.
Yeah, it's... and I mean, it's not just that because again, he literally goes back to like the, like when did he make his debut? In like the mid-90s?
Yeah, he's been wrestling like 30 years. He's got to be.
Right? Yeah. Because again, he was there in WCW, like right at the end, and
and has just been a
mainstay. Yeah, it's been a mainstay in Japan.
Debut November 19th, 1992.
Oh Jesus! So even longer than that, yeah.
Almost 33 years. It's
weird to like consider that soon we're going to have a Japanese like scene, junior scene without Kaz Hayashi.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, those guys are those guys that you started watching when you were young are now retiring. It's crazy.
Yeah, and unless they're Fuji will never retire.
Yeah,
or die. He will just wrestle forever until the sun swallows the earth.
And then next up we have Takao Mori and Osamu Nishimura versus Kono and Toshizo.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not?
It's funny because the oldest guys in the match are not the issue.
Yeah.
And then Road to the Champion Carnival 8-man tag match, Kento Miyahara, Hokuto Omori, Kuroshio, Tokyo, Japan, and Renai Abe versus Yuma Aoyagi, Shotaro Ishino, Ryuki Honda, and Hartley Jackson. I'm going to assume that Abe takes the fall here, building into that story.
Yeah, no, I assume that as well. Like, I'm still sticking to the thing where, like, he's getting one win in the entire tournament, and it's probably going to be over Kento.
And then, I mean, if he's pinning Kento in the carnival, then he's not leaving.
I mean, and that's on the first night.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then All Asia Tag Team Championship match, or maybe they had to give him that win to him to do the tournament. All Asia Tag Team Championship match, and this has finally been changed to an Electric Explosion death match. We got Atsushi Onita and Toy versus Hikaru Saito and Dan Tamura. There is only one acceptable result.
Yeah, no, we need to end this whole Onita thing. It's been going on for way too long now.
Although I suppose if Onita and Toy retain, it means more DDT.
I mean, I guess, but like, is that really the DDT we want?
No, it's not. All right, Toy's fine. He's good.
I mean, Toy's fine, but like, yeah.
Yeah. And then fifth match, PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship match, Rising Hado versus Musashi, as we already discussed. I'm expecting some pretty good things from this match. And given that this is only, well, technically an 8-match show with the Actress Girls, instead of like, sometimes they've done like 10 matches on these Oda Award shows. I think it's going to get a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I can see that as well. I just really hope that it's Hayato retaining, but I have no doubts that the match itself is going to be great, though, because these are two really good wrestlers.
And then sixth match for the World Tag Team Championship, Suwama and Hideki Suzuki versus Jun Saito and Rei Saito with Taru, and it's with Taru, and Taru's face is on the match graphic. So.
Ooh. Is he going to become a co-champion if he wins?
Paul, could the Saitos lose this because Taru turns on them?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because otherwise I would have been like, they should just flip it back onto the Saitos. But putting Taru on there so prominently makes me think that Maybe they just want to act like, because let's face it, the Citus are faces already.
They're faces.
Like they're playing up the heel thing, but
and
like they're faces.
If you do the face turn after the match, it lessens the losing thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because that you can get out of them like losing clean, basically.
Well, I don't think they're gonna lose clean.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. No, that's what I mean. Yeah, you get out of like they're not gonna lose clean, basically. It's what I'm getting at as well. But like I guess like Taro maybe like fucks up the powder throw and then like one of them gets rolled up by Hideki or something.
Look, I'm not against that necessarily, but I don't want like 20 interference spots from Taro in this match either.
I might be getting that though.
We'll I see. Just want one interference attempt and it's the finish and yeah, I mean if they go in that direction type thing.
Yeah. But then again, remember how we were talking about like Suwama's finally gonna turn face and then it took like 3 months until that actually happened.
I feel like it's a little different with the Saitos given their media role. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like because the crowd also treats them like faces, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that could happen. They could just win. The Saitos could just win the titles back. Yeah. I could also see that. I don't know where to go with this now, though. I'm 50-50.
I mean, it could be Taro tries to interfere and they're just like, no, fuck this. We want to do this ourselves. And they send it back.
Yeah.
That could be a thing. And then they win. I mean, like I said, I could see them like doing this whole thing where like Taro turns on them and that's how they get out of losing clean.
Yeah.
But I still would just put the titles on the Saitos.
Yeah, that's also probably the wisest.
There's just no energy with the Hideki Suwama team.
Oh god, no, yeah. And then in our main event, Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Yuma Anzai for the Triple Crown. I mean, I'm incredibly hyped after this match. I thought like on that last Saitama show we talked about and all the other little shows since the last Korakuen, I mean, they've done a great job building this up.
Yeah. No, I am hyped for this as well. Although now I have shifted towards very firmly believing Nakajima is just going to retain.
And what was your shift?
Well, Nakajima not being in the carnival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously
Yeah, once they added Davey instead, I was like, okay, like it just doesn't make sense for Nakajima to lose the title here.
Right. So yeah, we had Davey Boy Smith Jr. in Block A and Rei Saito in Block B. Paul, we've got the full carnival lineups here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go through everything, but we'll go through the first night and the last couple nights because the last Block A and B show. So first night, Shotaro Shino versus Hokuto Omori. Is this an Omori upset?
Might be. I still don't feel like Omori is going to get a whole lot of wins in this tournament.
No.
But we'll this might be one of them, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about something later, too, with Omori. Yuma Aoyagi versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. I mean, I got to assume if you're bringing in Smith, you got to give him the win on the first night.
Yeah, no, he's definitely beating Yuma.
Kento Miyahara versus Ren Ayabe.
Again, I feel like this might be Ren's only win.
Yeah.
Or, well, there's two scenarios. Either this is his only win, or he actually only loses, like, 2 matches total. And then gets eliminated on the final night by Jiro.
Yeah. Then we got Ryuki Honda versus Lord Crew.
I mean, I have no real frame of reference for Lord Crew, so can't be.
Well, I mean, again, new foreigner, you got to have him go over.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, that's how I'd book it. I mean, you just got to at least establish these guys.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because otherwise it just looks like a loser. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some old carnivals where there's like some random foreigners they would bring in. This is like the 80s. And even in the early,
And they would look like Lord Crew too.
Yeah. And they would end up with 0 points or 2 points and get nothing. But I think you got to book differently than that.
Yeah.
Yuma Anzai versus Jun Saito. I mean, I'm looking forward to this. But I think Anzai wins because. Well, you gotta have Anzai win this.
And I also feel like we might be getting another new period title challenge at some point soon as well.
And then Suwama versus Rei Saito. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to this too. I might give Ray the win here.
Getting an upset with Suwama?
Yeah. Because I think there's another, because we'll assume Miyahara is going to win and then beat Nakajima for the Triple Crown. Ray Saito would be a great challenger for Kento. So I say Suwama is losing to Ray here. That's my prediction.
I mean, he's technically still owed the title match, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's fast forward to... they're doing Yuma versus Kento on like some very random show, I thought. Where is
Kento? I'm trying to find it now as well. Oh, here it is. In the Makuhari Messe International Exhibition Hall 4.
Yeah.
On the 21st. Is that even a weekend? That's a Sunday, okay. At the very least, it's a Sunday.
And I don't know, it just seems... it's in Chiba.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just seems...
just weird to do it there, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have... I mean, I'm assuming that Kento probably wins this, given what happened last time. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Could be thinking to draw, too.
I mean, also that show is like, that's like the only draw on that show as well.
Oh God, yes. Yeah, there's nothing else.
Well, actually, Honda versus Anzai actually should be interesting too.
Oh yes, actually, that would be a good one. So yeah, that show actually is not bad. Okay, so final block B night: Hartley Jackson versus Lord Crew.
I think they might be coming out of that as a tag team.
Oh God, maybe. Rey Saito versus Ryuki Honda.
Yeah, I think this might be a Honda win.
Okay. Suwama versus Jun Saito.
So the thing is,
yeah,
who goes through to the final here from this block?
Well, yeah, because they're not doing Hideki versus Suwama on the final night.
No.
Which I was surprised. I'm not going to lie. I was sort of expecting that to be the last night match.
Because some people have been throwing around Suwama as a winner of this, but that's preposterous. It's that would be such a terrible booking decision.
Oh, I think it would be terrible, but I want to hold my words and not say preposterous at this point because I don't know.
I mean, it's, scared. Yeah. I mean, we said the same thing.
But then why not just?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
We said the same thing when Suwama. Like again, you have to remember it's Suwama. Because we said the same thing when they did the Suwama versus Jake match.
Yeah.
And then he just won the title.
And there's also, but Jun Saito could also be a guy that can eliminate Suwama.
Yes, very much so.
Because also you've got Yuma Anzai versus Hideki Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
Which has, that match has got a story.
Yeah.
Right? And I really have loved, and it's something I've wanted to see. I really love the Anzai and Hideki interactions, right? Like, you know, like Anzai proving himself to Suzuki and everything like that, right?
Oh, absolutely. So, but I could very easily also see this dope ending up being a time limit draw and then Suwama goes through.
Yeah. I think Hideki's beating Anzai, though.
Yeah, I do think it's likely that Hideki is going to the final.
And then June beats Suwama
and then, gets set up as a challenger down the line and then Hideki goes to the final against Kento.
Yeah. And then so we've got Carnival Block A on Korakuen Hall on May 6th during Golden Week. We got Kuroshio Tokyo Japan versus Renai Abe. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure, no doubt, that Jiro will do spots related to Ren being so tall.
Absolutely. That will be like half the match.
And then Shitaro Oshino versus Cyrus.
I mean, I assume one of them is going to be in the running and will get eliminated here.
Is he going to suplex him? Is Shino going to suplex
him? Ooh. I mean, that would be very impressive, yeah. That might be his, thing for, not going through, and he at least gets to suplex Cyrus.
I mean, Cyrus could win this, too, to block Shino, though.
Yeah, I again, one of these men will be alive coming into the match and the other guy will eliminate him. I just don't like it could be either or. Like, I don't
know. The Jiro versus Ren, I doubt will be a thing.
Yeah, like I said, unless Ren goes on like a run and then he gets eliminated by Jiro here, I don't think that match is going to be relevant.
Okay, so this is what I meant when we'll talk about Omori more later. Mm-hmm. Yuma Aoyagi versus Hokuto Omori. Is Hokuto spoiling Yuma?
Yeah, I think that's the likeliest outcome here. And then the block comes down to Kento versus Davey.
And what I assume that Kento is beating Davey, and Davey is going to be protected and is going to be in the running on the final night, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, once he was like, he gets the final night against Kento, it's pretty clear that, like, he's probably going to, like, pick up a lot of wins early on and maybe get some, like, losses down the stretch and then get, and then the block comes down to him and Kento here.
I figured that if they were going to the trouble of getting Davey Boy Smith Jr. in this tournament, he's going to be a factor in the final, going into the final night.
Yeah. And we finally get him after the promise of the 2020 carnival.
Yes. But we're still waiting for the Takashi Sugiura participation in the carnival.
Because I remember, like, and I think I was one of those being like, I think Sugiura's just going to win this. We were robbed. We were robbed of this, and it's probably never going to happen at this point. But
no. We'll see, but no, probably not. And then, of course, okay, then on May 12th, the finals at Yokohama Buntai. I mean, Buntai maybe up to 4,000 people. Tadeki versus Kento is fresh. I'm still leaning towards that.
Yeah.
I don't have another final.
Like, do you think anyone else out of Block A, like maybe Yuma, but again, I think it's like 99% likely that it's going to be Kento.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. So I'm not going to give percentages. I'm going to give likelihood. Kento Miyahara, number one.
Yeah.
Yuma Aoyagi, number two. And Shotaro Oshino, number three.
See, I wouldn't even say there is a number three. I would put Oshino at number four and just leave the number threes for them.
Oh, Paul.
Look, it's not against Oshino. I'm literally wearing a Master of Suplex shirt right now. But I just don't think it's likely that he's doing back-to-back carnival wins.
No, probably not, unfortunately. That is probably the case, unfortunately. But, well, Paul, now that you've got the lineup and everything, how do you feel? I'm seeing a lot of mixed reactions to this, not super hyped or everything.
I like the lineup overall, but it is missing that, like, flashy outsider.
Yeah.
I think that's what disappoints people, right? Because there isn't, like, not even just that there isn't, like, a flashy foreigner or anything like that, but there's no, like, flashy, like, Japanese outsider. I mean, like a Segura would have been in 2020, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that there isn't really any, I mean, it's not even just that, but there isn't even any outsider, really, on the Japanese side.
No. Hideki is technically it.
Yeah, but he's a tag champion.
I think Block B Block B looks better with the Ray in there. I do.
Yeah.
Ray Saito versus June Saito. I would assume that Ray gets his win back because June won on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I would assume that as well.
I would keep them even when they do singles. I would not have one of them get too far out ahead.
No, that doesn't make sense either.
I feel like the company sort of goes back and forth on who they want to make this, who they want to do an actual singles push with. Because I think there's like pros and cons to each.
Yeah, but I don't even think you really need to do like super serious singles pushes with either, because the value isn't them being twins.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like once you have twins, like you keep them together. Like you don't pick up a twin tag
team. And June got his title shot this year, and I think Ray will get a title shot probably. I mean, if you're putting the belt back on Kento, he's going to need people he hasn't faced before.
Yeah, he needs fresh challengers.
And Ray fits that bill. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, so does Jiro.
So does Jiro. So does Hideki. I mean, so does you. So does... Wait, no, they have never had a triple crown match, right?
Who?
Yuma, Anzai, and... Kento? Like they've had a singles match, but not a triple crown match. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, there definitely are like a lot of like actually Ren Ayabe. If Ren Ayabe gets a pin, that might be a triple crown match.
Yeah. I wouldn't be against that. You can't do that. You can only do that in Corkin. In fact, you might not want to do that even in Corkin.
Yeah. I mean, I will actually say, because like it is still a Finn roster, but I will like just looking over it, there are actually like outside of like Suwama and like Yuma Aoyagi, there are actually like a lot of people on that roster now that would be fresh challengers for Kento.
Yeah. There definitely will be. And I think Ren in the Carnival will clarify his position in the company going forward.
Yeah. I mean, it also seems like a lot of tension that was there at the beginning of the year seems to have been smoothed over.
Well, I mean, Omori's back. Ishikawa is interacting with other wrestlers, All Japan wrestlers on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So that could definitely be the case. I mean, I don't know if this would ever happen, but you could bring back Ishikawa and Black Mansa Ray later in an invasion angle if you wanted to.
Yeah, sure. But I'm actually kind of like that then not. Like, that's actually one of the reasons why I think there's, like, fresh challenges. Because, for example, like, Shuji Ishikawa not being there, you know, like, that opens up a spot for someone to move up.
Absolutely.
More permanently.
So... yeah, but I'm still relatively confident in the Kento Hideki final.
Yeah, I also feel like it's either that or Kento versus Suwama. But I think the winner, regardless, is Kento.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, and it just seems like, yeah, Kento's eaten shit for like over a year now, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, and they have the tag title reign, but he's eaten a lot of shit, though, like since the Nagata loss.
He got knocked out by Hokuto Omori.
Yeah. And
I think he can come back to the triple
crown. I think it's time to put the triple crown back on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, get Anzai ready, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, Yoyogi, December 31st.
Maybe
too soon.
I think it might actually be. You could drag that out a little longer. Mm-hmm. I think Anzai next year champion carnival though, maybe.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't win, if he doesn't win in December, I think yeah, he's winning the carnival next year, and I think he might be winning then.
It's just my only concern is like where does Yuma Aoyagi fit in all of this, right?
I mean, he might be the December challenger.
Yeah. And I guess like you could do it either ways. You could have Anzai beat Aoyagi. You don't have to have him beat Kento, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because I think
wanting to save that.
I mean, I know they did the big Yuma beat Kento in a triple crown match, but I think there's still value in having Yuma win the triple crown from Kento.
Mm-hmm.
So that could very well be the December 31st match, because I don't really see many alternatives barring another big outsider at this point.
Yeah.
So like for December 31st, you got Kento versus one of the Yumas, I think are the biggest match you could do.
Yeah, for sure. Like that's definitely the biggest match you have in your holster right now. And you want to save that one for like it. I get that they're doing it in this weird Chiba show, but I feel like if you keep him apart for the rest of the year, you can definitely like,
yeah,
and Yoyogi with that.
That's why I think Kento is beating Yuma Aoyagi in that carnival match.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. You know, because Yuma had got two straight wins over Kento. He pinned him in the carnival and then retained the
trip. Yeah, that's true, actually.
So I think it's time for Kento to get that win back, get another win back to sort of set to even that up going in. Mm-hmm. Maybe. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Lots of things can happen in that time. But so that's everything. I think some good stuff going on, but we still have to wait to see how certain things play out, whether it's the All Japan and DDT relationship, whether it's who's going to win the carnival, or whether or not Jake Lee we're going to another, get another GH Lee title reign.
Please not. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a very cursed timeline we could come out of here.
Oh, which absolutely. Is, there's a couple.
Which is, yeah. Jake as the GHC champion and Suwama as the Triple Crown champion.
Yes, hopefully not. But let's.
Or Hideki as the Triple Crown champion and Fujita as the GHC champion. I don't know which one is more cursed.
Hideki beating Nakajima for the Triple Crown would go up there in all-time booking malpractice. Right?
Yeah. Because
you had the whole Kento, for lack of a better term, Kento finishing the story.
Yeah. And then you give it to Hideki Suzuki instead for no reason at all.
Yeah, that I would put that on my list. Oh, I was going to say, just a couple of housekeeping notes. 2024 marks 25 years of me watching Japanese wrestling. So I am starting on a very list of the worst of Japanese wrestling in the past 25 years. So either in the Voices of Wrestling Emerald Flow Show Discord and the Emerald Flow Show channel, offer up some of your suggestions. And then you can also, tweet us at Emerald Flow Show if you have suggestions as well. I got a list of about 25 that I put down. I also asked the amazing Alan 4L for some of suggestions of his own, because I know he's been watching almost as long. And so I'm going to ask some other people. So I'm getting a pretty good list compiled there together. And then I was on
Count Out Podcast Network Patreon
with the awesome Ryan Nitsky. And we talked about, does Kento Miyahara have a Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame case to be in the Hall of Fame? Because he's going on the ballot this year.
Ooh.
So we talked about Kento's strengths, his weaknesses, and whether or not he deserves a vote in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So that should be out very soon.
So yeah, that's actually that. I'm going to listen to that, because yeah, I don't know how I would vote if I had a vote, to be honest.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it here. The episode's not even out yet.
Yeah, so,
don't do that. But we look at Kento's career, we look at his strengths and weaknesses, and then at the end we talk about whether or not I'd vote for him or not. So you'll have to tune in to that. So Paul, I know you're going to be busy at work, but maybe we can sneak in a quick episode next week where we just talk about the Ota Ward gym show and the Noah Corican or something like that.
Yeah, we'll see if we can find make a little bit of time for that at least.
Yeah, even
find a day where my brain isn't completely 100% fried.
Yeah, but other than that, enjoy all of the hopefully great wrestling this weekend, and we will talk to you very soon. Bye.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.